Oh, come on. I gotta mute my Slack. Is everyone else using Slack? Slack has taken over the workplace by storm so that you can get messages nonstop throughout the day. Why do we have email then? If you got the Slack, you don't need the email. I guess you need the email for people outside the organization. But anyone within the organization who is using email to contact you, just go to Slack. I'm not checking the email as much anymore. Too many platforms. Too many ways to communicate. Always supposed to be in contact. And if this was one of those shows that used audio drops, this is where I would insert the woman from Hoarders yelling, "Leave me alone. Earl, stop it. Leave me alone." You really want that? Okay, be careful what you wish for. You're opening Pandora's box.
Earl, stop it! Leave me alone!
Welcome to One Topic, where we stick to one topic, or so we say. My name is Greg Russ. Autumn Fisher, unable to join me today, but she will be releasing her own episode on the same topic, that being spring break. Spring break, the reason Autumn isn't here, because the kids are home. Her kids are home for spring break. Apparently, they're incapable of hanging out alone for an hour. So, here we are. I don't know what will happen if she leaves them unattended. They'll get into the poison cabinet, the cleaning solutions under the sink. They're old enough now where they can depress the plastic safety lock. They figured it out because they're very smart kids. I am sure there's a parent out there somewhere who is used the fact that their kid has opened the cabinet under the sink despite the child safety lock as a reason for their kid being a genius, even though it's the simplest puzzle in the world. If you were testing someone's cognitive ability, a young kid, their problem-solving skills, you want to see where they rank. I feel as though that latch, the installed plastic latch for the cabinet that contains the Windex and the Pine Sol, both of which smell very, very good. I'd put Pine Sol first, then Windex. That would be one of the first tests I put forth. It's not even a good test because you could accidentally open it just by fooling around, moving your hand, you're struggling, you're panicking, you have no clue how to open this cabinet, and you could accidentally get your finger on that latch and push it down, and then the thing is open. But since parents like to think their kids are geniuses and they'll take any opportunity given to them to express that, no matter how much of a stretch it is, and no matter that kids develop at different speeds and the progression won't continue at the same rate, and at some point other kids will catch up. And at the end of the day, yes, some kids will be smarter than others. They jump on it. Now the Sir Mix-a-Lot song is going to be stuck in your head. And they say, "Oh my God, Susie is something else. Let me tell you, she speaks in haikus. She solves math problems in her head, not even with a piece of paper or an abacus or a calculator. And this is the kicker. She figured out how to open the chemical cleaning solutions cabinet, the CCC. And then the other parents don't care. Maybe they pretend they care just to get the person to shut up, or maybe they counter with some other story about how their kid's smart because they don't want to feel left behind. And they all brag about their genes, and my genes are superior, and I'm so glad we were able to pass them on. And me teaming up with my husband or my wife, we created something special. On our first date, we talked about our genes and we said, how great are your genes? What are your recessive traits? Because we can't have any surprises. This child we create, it's going to be an extension of ourselves and it needs to be top notch. And all our shortcomings are going to be fixed by this little being. And she's going to be strong enough to be able to handle it. She's not going to succumb to the pressure. She's going to say, Mom and Dad, I got you covered. You two were pieces of shit, but don't worry. The family name is going to be saved by me because I'm going to win the world. And then she goes to Florida on spring break and she decides she just wants to surf for the rest of her life. She works at the Ron John surf shop and she's happy with her life, but her parents are thoroughly disappointed and they're embarrassed and they don't talk to anyone about Susie ever again. And that's how we bring it back to spring break. In case you're wondering about the origins, the ancient Greeks, of course. Way back in ancient times, the Greeks had a spring festival called Anthesteria. That's my best shot at pronouncing it. It was a celebration of Dionysus, the god of wine and fertility. So they drank and they banged and they created children. It all ties together. You thought that I was just spewing this shit off the top of my head, but there was a point. The Greeks were doing the same thing. They had a spring festival that was indirectly dedicated to having kids, and they all held on to the hope that one day those kids would make up for their pathetic existences. Now, the modern day origins of spring break live with Colgate University, which is somewhere here in the state of New York. The swimming coach said, hey, let's get the hell out of here. It's still cold here in the north. Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. They've got a new pool down there. I'm going to take you all down. We're going to practice really hard. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be the most intense practice of your lives, but you'll be in Florida. You get to go on a trip. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That happened in the 1930s. Then other schools started to follow suit. They bring their swimming teams down, they'd practice, and somehow that eventually morphed into time off for students across the country and me lying way too close to the TV watching American Gladiators and The Price is Right hosted by Bob Barker. The two shows that are tied to time off from school. American Gladiators, by the way, there's a documentary series on Netflix. Everything's a series now. They can't just do one documentary. They got to stretch it out for multiple episodes. And sometimes the subject matter gets a little flat because maybe there wasn't that much of a story to tell. But this one was interesting. As a person who would watch American Gladiators as a kid, at first, when they cast these gladiators, they were using steroids. They didn't care. You know, it's competition, yes, but they wanted them to look much bigger than the weakling contestants that would come in. Until they realized that kids were looking up to these gladiators like superheroes, and there were action figures, and kids would have lunchboxes. And then they said, oh, shit, we got to stop the steroid and drug use. So the producers called a meeting with all the gladiators and said, hey, we're going to drug test you in a few weeks, giving them an opportunity to get clean. And once those few weeks passed, they did do a drug test. But apparently nobody ever found out what the results were. I think it was just an opportunity for the producers to say, hey, we're on top of this. We're drug testing. Get off of our backs. I get it, though. You get your break on TV. You're on a show you think is ridiculous. Then it takes off and suddenly you're finding success. But it's fleeting. Everything in the entertainment industry is fleeting. There are so many people that get a break and they think, oh, my God, I've made it. And then they don't get another chance. And then it's just done. So when you do have the opportunity, you have to make the best of it. And there's these demands being put on you. You have to look like this large, imposing character who is ready to tear the contestants on the show limb from limb. And just the competition schedule itself was destroying your body. If you know anything about TV production, you know that they cram that shit in. They'll film multiple episodes in one day. As a kid, I thought this was maybe happening on a weekly cadence where once a week fans would show up at Gladiator Arena. Maybe there was some tailgating outside. Then the gladiators would make their grand entrance and people would cheer them or boo them. As a kid, I always liked the contestants and not the gladiators. I guess I rooted for the underdog. Suck it, Nitro. It was like a football game in my mind. They compete one week, and then they do it again the next week, with a lot of downtime in between. But with the production schedule and the set changes, if you think about the different games in that arena, they weren't all set up at all times. Pieces had to be moved around. Pieces had to be put into place for any given game. So the big hamster ball game, that took up a lot of space. So some set pieces would have to be put away, or the game where tennis balls were shot at the contestants as they ran around and got to shoot Nerf missiles at some bullseye above the gladiator on a platform. Or the joust. You wouldn't just joust two people if you were the male gladiator, or two women if you were the female gladiator. You joust six, because they'd have contestants from multiple shows competing at the same time. So if you're the first contestant up on the jousting platform, you're getting a fresh gladiator and it's harder for you to win. But if you're the sixth person, you go up there, the gladiator is exhausted and you have a better chance at knocking them off. So the competition in its own right probably wasn't the fairest, but it goes to show that it was more entertainment than competition, which leads back to the steroids. My stance on which is who cares? People are responsible for their own bodies. Yes, there are many harmful things. I'm not saying everyone should just go take steroids, but people are responsible for themselves. And in this scenario, I don't find it to be some kind of egregious betrayal of trust because the gladiators took steroids. But at the time, as a kid, I was oblivious to all this, and I would just watch the show with the weird games and think, this is fun. I don't have to go to school today. And then I would watch The Price is Right. The music for which, I wonder if that's on a soundtrack somewhere. The music that would play when the product descriptions were happening, not the theme song, but they just had those various tracks when the announcer who would wear the sequin jacket, whose name is slipping my mind, would talk about the different products, introducing them to the contestants. I feel like that music and the theme from Pinwheel will play in my head as I'm dying. I'm just going to be whisked back to this time of my life that was simpler, that was innocent, and that music will be the soundtrack that whisks me into eternal oblivion. That Pinwheel theme is very haunting. If I'm lucky enough not to die early by being hit by a bus or cancer, if I'm just old age and you've got those few moments before it all ends, this is what's going to be in my head. I'll be talking to whatever loved ones are surrounding me. It's time for me to go. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. For now, I must say, spin me good night. It'll be my rosebud. And that'll be it. That will be the end of my life. One can only hope it's that peaceful, right? Probably won't be anything like that. And I would prefer not to talk about it anymore because I will start to panic. So la 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 la, let's just move on. Get back to the topic at hand, spring break. I was never a big spring breaker when I got into college or even high school. I would just hang around at home. I think in college once I went to Destin because everyone would go to Panama City. Growing up in the Atlanta area, Panama City was a big destination for all the ne'er-do-wells to show up and get wasted, and the dudes talking about how they're going to find some women to lay, and then they leave, and nobody accepted them but the lie to their buddies because, for whatever reason, it would get made fun of if you weren't able to, quote, close the deal. I wonder if that culture has changed or if dudes are still going to be apes. In my mind, though, ever the contrarian, I said, I'm going to go to Destin. That's the classier destination. I am a grown-up who's not looking to do these things that these goons are wanting to do. And then I dragged my friend Kent into it. And it actually was a fun trip. We just went deep-sea fishing. We hung out. We weren't of age as of yet, but we had someone who would buy us alcohol from the Costco before we hit the road. And as we were checking out with the Heineken mini kegs and other various cheap beers like Southpaw and Mickey's Malt Liquor, one of my neighbors, who my parents were friends with, came up and said, "Hey, Greg, what's going on?" And we tried to hide the alcohol. And at the time, after we checked out, you think, did they know? Did they know? Did they see? Of course they saw. Of course they fucking saw. Did they ever say anything? I don't know. If they did, my parents never said anything. I guess they trusted me to some extent. But we went down to Destin, ended up meeting a few people that we just hung out with. You know, it doesn't need to be a thing where you go, get your jizz off. You hang out, you meet some people of all genders, and then at some point those people introduce you to another guy who is a guy who wants to impress one of the girls that you met. So he says something dumb like, "Hey, should I go get my dick pierced?" And because people are drunk, they say, "Yeah, let's go do it." And then he's got to follow through on it because he really wants to impress this person and he thinks this is the best way to do it. So he actually goes and gets a Prince Albert and then he shows it off and everyone gets down on their knees so they can get a closer look. That's how that played out. But it's a fond memory. It was a very good time. And spring breaks before that, we went on cruises. These are the only times I went on cruises. And I know that people feel very strongly about cruises. I don't know if I've ever come across a person who says, I don't really have many feelings on a cruise. Either people like cruises or they absolutely despise cruises. At the time, I loved it. I didn't like going to port. I preferred the days we were at sea because you could stay on the ship and you could go to the casino and sneak some coins into the slot machine, and you felt like you were doing something that you shouldn't be doing because you're only 16 at the time. I guess going to port was good because then you could get a flask of Bacardi for very cheap, and you're not supposed to bring those things back on the boat. Or if you do bring them back on the boat, you're supposed to check them so that they can take them away from you and then give them back to you when you get off the boat because they want you to spend your money on the boat on the booze. But when you're 16, you can't do that. So you get a flask that you can put in your waistband and you sneak it in. And it tastes so disgusting that you can't bring yourself to drink it. So you order ice cream and you mix it in with the ice cream, and that's how you consume it. You want to do these things, but you don't really want to do these things. So you find workarounds for these things, like drinking alcohol, and you have no clue what your limit is with that. And you get way too drunk and you go to the weird dance club on the boat and you bust out some asinine moves, but it catches the eye of someone who is in the 11th grade, but you're only in the 9th grade. So you have to lie to that person and say you're in the 10th grade because you think they're pretty. And surely they're not going to go for a 9th grader, but 10th grade, you can pull that off and it works and you hold hands. This is actually a pickup that I am inserting into this episode. This whole business of being 16 on the cruise ship, but being in 9th grade, I went on two cruises, one when I was 15, one when I was 16. And I'm conflating the two, kind of combining stories. I did get drunk on both of them with Bacardi that I snuck onto the ship. But talking about being 16 and then being in 9th grade, that doesn't line up. I was actually 15 at the time when I met Molly, the girl in 11th grade. And I lied about being in 10th grade. I was only 15, not 16. Two stories into one for the sake of brevity, even though it's not brev at all. And you say, hey, that was something. I'm in love with you because of that handholding. And then you go your separate ways. You go home to the Metro Atlanta area. They go home to Indiana. And you think, we're going to meet up. We've got to pursue this. This is true love. But you don't want to make a lot of long distance phone calls from home because that'll alert your parents and they'll put an end to it because it'll cost a lot. So you take a lot of change to Town Center Mall in Kennesaw, Georgia, and you make the phone calls there to Goshen, Indiana from a payphone. But when the person's parents pick up, you get scared, so you hang up. But because they answered the phone, you don't get your several dollars back, it being a long distance phone call. So you have to work up the nerve to call again. You stop by the Great American Cookie Company, you get yourself a double doozy, you catch your breath and you go and do it again. You put the several dollars of change into the payphone, and this time when the parent answers you, can I speak to Molly? And then they say, she's not home, so you've wasted even more money, and you want to ask, do you know when she's going to be home? But it takes you so long to get those words out, the person hangs up, and you go home, defeated. And you try again another day. And when you finally do get Molly on the line, you set up some grand plan that neither of you have discussed with your parents that you're going to go visit. Yeah, of course I can come up there. The person in Indiana hasn't checked with their parents. You haven't checked with your parents. You still set the plans. Then you tell your parents you want to go to Indiana. And then your parents say, fuck no, you're not going to Indiana. What the fuck is wrong with you? And you think they're the worst human beings in the world. You are keeping me from true love. How dare you? Do you understand what you are doing? You are destroying the fabric of the world. The universe is going to rip apart because you will not let me go as a minor, unaccompanied, to some random person's house in another state far away. But do you understand, idiot parents, that love is what holds the fabric of the universe together? So I'm not being hyperbolic when I say you are ripping apart space-time. You are actually doing it. And Interstellar, when that comes out many years from now, will prove that. Because that one character, played by the Catwoman in the Batman movie with Bane, will say something about love being space-time. They're one and the same. Or something like that. That's how I interpreted it. There's also a Flaming Lips song with a similar sentiment. What is the light? So you just think about that, okay? In the meantime, I hate you. And really, that's what spring break means to me. If I were presenting in front of a class, these are the stories I would tell. Kids these days, they have many breaks. There's the fall break. There's the winter. There's always been the winter break. They've got, but when I say winter, I think there's the Christmas break. Probably just call it the holiday break now. Then I think there's a break in February. So you get a September break, a February break, of course, the December break, and then a spring break in March. And I have no real commentary on that other than it cuts into the summer. There was something very special about summer when you had an extended period off. It obviously varies in different states. I know here in New York, they're pretty strict with the Memorial Day to Labor Day. That is the summer. That feels like a very good summer in the South, Metro Atlanta area where my sister is a teacher. I feel they're back in school before August, a couple of days before, or at least maybe the teachers are, than the very beginning of August. And summer seems to start later. It's really been cut down. You're depriving these children of something very special and sacred by giving scattered breaks. It doesn't mean as much. You collect the breaks for one long break. When the days seem long and you have a mother who takes you to the swimming pool at Pine Tree Country Club, and she and your sisters like to hang out for hours and you enjoy it, you like to stay for an hour or two, but not 5 hours, and you get really fed up with it, but you're too young to stay at home until you get to middle school and you say, you know what? You go to the pool. I'm staying home. There's this new thing called AOL. Actually, it was Prodigy before AOL. I'm jumping on that, and I'm going to do research on dinosaurs. And you type dinosaurs into the search engine, and dinosaur information comes up, and you think, oh my God, what else could I search for? And you let your imagination run wild. And without the summer, I would have never discovered internet porn. Thanks for listening to this episode of One Topic. Autumn, a reminder, is supposed to be putting out her own episode about spring break some point today. Will it be as masterful as this one? Probably. Probably a lot more so.